You're just gonna stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
On Who Arted today, we have Jess Johnson, whose virtual reality collaboration with Simon Ward is currently on at the National Gallery of Australia until August the 26th. She's also part of the Ivan Anthony Art Print Extravaganza, where art fans can purchase print editions and other bespoke merchandise at entry-level prices. Hi, Jess. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. So you've been living in New York for the last 2 years after 12 years of living in Melbourne, and here you are back in New Zealand, just finished up with the art fair in Auckland. You have a show in Australia, and you've got the Ivan Anthony art print sale on as well. What's it like in New York, though? What's your studio like, and how do you survive?
My studio's jumped around a bit in New York. I initially had an Australia Council residency. So I had that for 3 months when I first arrived in New York, and that was this like palatial loft in Soho. Oh. And from there I moved into a tiny little shoebox apartment in Chinatown, and my first studio was a windowless basement with no running water in the Lower East Side.
Oh man, talk about the dream destroyed.
From there I moved into a 1 year studio residency at ISCP, which is in Brooklyn, so that studio had windows, was
ventilated.
Was lovely. Yeah. Yep. And now I'm back in Chinatown, so yeah.
Okay, cool. So, wow, that palatial place sounds amazing.
It was incredible.
That's kind of what I thought I would be when I was a child. I'll grow up to be an artist in a loft in New York somehow. Wow, good to know that did happen for a little while. So how do you survive? Are you surviving just off your art nowadays?
Yeah, I've been working full-time as an artist for about the last several years, and making a living out of it. I've got a dealer, Darren Knight, in Sydney. I show work with Ivan Anthony in New Zealand, and I've got a gallery called Jack Hanley Gallery in New York. So between those three,
they keep you afloat.
Yep.
How did you find your dealer in New York?
He actually found me on Instagram, which, oddly enough, when I was still in Australia, he sent me a message and an email after that, and invited me to be in a group drawing show at his gallery in New York. But I had like no understanding of the New York art scene whatsoever, and I was already like very committed with a lot of shows that year. So I ended up pulling out from doing the drawing show, and always felt a bit sheepish about it. And then when I eventually did move to New York, I was doing, you know, the opening circuit in the Lower East Side one night, and I went along to an exhibition at his gallery, and it was a super, super nice space. And I really liked the work there and the vibe and the scene and him. And so I went over and reintroduced myself and apologised for not doing the drawing show a couple of years back. And He asked to do a studio visit, came over.
To a palatial place.
Yeah, it was the palatial studio in
Sweet.
Soho, which was super impressive. And then he put me in a group show, and from there he asked me to do a solo show. And that was, I basically had a year to work towards that solo show in New York, and I had that in September of last year. Real nervous about how I was going to go, because I didn't really have a reputation at all in the US.
I bet. How many works did you have for a solo show over there?
He's got quite a large gallery space, so I had probably 10 quite large drawings, and then I had about, I think there was about 18 of these smaller size works. I also had these like large fabric wall banners, and I had a video installation and a virtual reality piece as well.
All guns blazing.
I mean, it was, you know, your first solo show in New York. You want to push it as far as you can get.
I love it.
I was like, this is what I do.
That's awesome. Hey, your banners that you talk about, are they similar to the ones that you had at the art fair, which are kind of almost like tapestries, giant tapestries, hanging with these beautiful claw
yeah,
hooks?
They those are actually quilted works at the art fair. And I made, they were made in collaboration with my mother, who's a quilt maker. So yeah, I think the idea of doing this quilt collaboration came about from those like printed wall banners that I had done, but just pushed it further into this different medium. But yeah, the labour involved in the quilts themselves is huge. I think my mum worked for about a month on each one, in constructing them. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're amazing.
Yeah, and the unique pieces as well, where the banners that I've done, they're like additioned.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
and the ones in New York, were they, when you say banners, are they like, what kind of material were they printed on, or were they just really big?
They were super big. I think they were about 4 meters high, floor to ceiling, and basically the imagery was aspects of my drawings, which I'd made into these new compositions, and then they were just blown up really big and digitally printed onto these banners.
I was just waiting for you to go, and then I handed them all as well, just to give everyone the extra. Yep.
Yeah. It's like my solo practice. Like I'm in the studio drawing, but the drawings themselves, they can then
morph
into these new mediums and the animations and the virtual reality and the quilts, and I basically just create images and then they get put out into the world and reordered and mutated and come back to me.
I love them. Your works are densely layered, feature densely layered patterns, objects and figures within architectural settings, almost reminiscent of hieroglyphics a little bit. Well, what inspires your subject matter and composition? But yeah, what's inspiring for you?
Probably a lot of sci-fi. all of the imagery, it's kind of this like visual cosmology, or like I'm depicting this
symbolic. It seems symbolic.
It's all of this other world, this other realm, this like parallel realm, which I've been documenting for several years. A lot of the imagery is kind of self-generating now, where its own like mythology and the relationship between the demigod characters and the humanoids and the architecture and the ritual and all of that, that's developed over a long time.
Yep.
I don't really have to look externally into, just like I'm constantly referencing back into earlier works, so this kind of internal dialogue and visual language has built up.
And excuse my ignorance around this, but do you have names for the other world and goddesses and things, demigods? Have you named them yet? Have you got names for them?
In my head, I've got names for them.
But it's not been actually brought out yet.
The world itself doesn't have a name. I think to name it would kind of kill it or something. But definitely like names have evolved for some of the characters, but it's more just to expedite my thinking around them, and the silly names, like
come on, Bob, Bob, Ruth. Oh, come on.
There's a definite like social hierarchy within the alien sort of beings and the humanoid clones, and within the alien hierarchy there's quite a supreme being who's called Gilgamesh.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah, and then there's like he's got a particular sort of bat-like face shape, and
I know the one.
Yeah, and there's like there's like a genus, is that the, I don't know if that's the word, where there's like there's familial relationships within that family genus.
Yeah,
where there's like the princeling Gilgamesh,
that sounds awesome and fascinating, and I really love that designing mirror worlds so you can kind of run through things and test things out. I really like that. Just jumping into your medium, I'd consider the medium of, and I hate saying this because it does sound bad, felt tips, and I know that's, but in many ways, I'd imagine that that would be quite unusual in the fine arts space. Did you, what earlier on when you first started really exhibiting using that material, those sort of, did you receive much critique around it, good or bad? And how do you manage the longevity of those materials?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I actually studied painting at art school, and then I don't think I have never picked up a paintbrush since I left. I actually lost a lot of confidence.
Art school can destroy you.
It did. It was like I lost a lot of confidence as an artist at art school, and I was quite lost when I left.
What art school were you at?
I went to Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for many years after art school, I wasn't actively exhibiting or involved in the art scene. Work doing gig flyers for like my friends' bands and posters. And that was kind of my way back into...
Yeah, I can totally see that happening.
My way back into the art world.
Sort of started pulling your visuals into some sort of cohesive whole that you could actually start working with again.
Yeah, and then I also, see them on people's walls when you go to parties and things like that. And I think I really developed, got my confidence back in doing this like poster work. And that's like a lot of how my visual style kind of developed was through this.
I really like that, and I think it does happen to a lot of artists. When you go to art school, they break you apart into lots of little pieces and try and stick you try and stick yourself back together again. And it does silence a lot of artists for a while. And it's nice if you can find a way back in. Okay, well that's all we've got time for this morning. Thank you so much for coming in,
no
Jess.
No worries.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.